KNBR presents Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood.
With 49ers cornerback Carlos Rogers.
Rogers in! Touchdown, 49ers!
I am so glad we're neighbors.
An in-depth look at defending his property. The defensive backfield. Now here's Mr. T.
Ray Ratto, Tom Tolbert with you. It's time to talk to Carlos Rogers. We do it every single Thursday throughout the course of the NFL season, and hopefully get a chance to talk to him a couple more times. Carlos, how you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. How y'all doing?
Tremendous. How's the hammy doing?
I'm a lot better. It's doing pretty good. Better than, you know, I thought after being frustrated my last 2 weeks with it, and didn't think it would ever get better. But now it is.
Are you optimistic? I mean, if you cleared the hurdles you're going to have to clear, and are you optimistic you'll be able to play this weekend?
I'm playing.
You are? No, okay, you're playing.
Yeah.
Are you starting?
No, I didn't start. I've been working in the nickel and just taking my first day Wednesday, doing a few periods, you know, like two or three periods today. I did a few more periods. And then tomorrow, hopefully, no setback, you know, I'll be, you know, doing pretty much the whole practice, so, and then make sure I'm be ready for Sunday.
Why, we've talked to you about this before, Carlos, but why is playing Seattle different? Aside from maybe because they're good, but where's the intensity come from, you guys against Seattle?
Like you said, both teams being good, both teams are similar. Both teams are very physical. You got the history with our coaches. You got the history with our coach and some of the players on their team. And the fact that they're in our division, I mean, that's more than anything. You know, our rival with them, you know, it's kind of different than us playing St. Louis and us playing, you know, Arizona because of, you know, more similarity into the teams. Two quarterbacks that, you know, can throw the ball but also good on their feet. And like I said, the history with Coach Harbaugh and Pete Carroll, you know, that just, you know, add more intensity into it. And then them guys like to talk a lot. So, you know, it's just so much stuff that's different.
So this one's a little more personal then.
Yeah, I would say it's becoming to be personal, you know. Not in that negative way.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it just, like I said, so much stuff that's between these two teams, like the coaches and all the trash talking and this and that. And, you know, those guys want to be where we've been. You know, we don't want this division. Our first year here and our second year here, you know, of course they got it this year. But, you know, we went to the Super Bowl last year. So we got something they want. They're extra hype. But I think we got more, our mind focused on something that we got a taste of last year, and that's that Super Bowl. So, you know, we're seeking something that we haven't gotten either.
So more shocking to you to see the sun fall out of the sky or see Harbaugh and Carroll sitting down having a lunch together?
I still would say the sun falling out of the sky. Much as they hate each other, dislike each other. I think with coaches, somehow, it's no telling you might have to sit down and talk, you know, have a this and that, you know, conversation with each other. So, you know, that's probably something they can't control that may just happen to happen.
So, in other words...
But I think it'll be fake, though.
But you're still pretty firm that they should talk before the entire planet is destroyed.
Yeah.
Okay. Do they dislike each other in the same way that you say that your team dislikes the Seahawks, and it's just two like minds competing for the same thing? Or do you suspect that with those two, it's something else?
I don't think it's nothing personal. I don't really know, but I don't think it's nothing personal. I think it's just the history of those two teams. You know, what Pete has done at USC, and we know the history of that, what Coach Harbaugh done at Stanford, they playing each other, and, you know, the rivalry of those two. So I don't know where it stirred up from there. But then you come here, you're in the same division. You know, both people want to really beat each other and beat each other bad. And then for Coach Harbaugh to come here and him to come there, and the way we've been winning, we've been in the postseason. You know, we've been in the Super Bowl. So I think he has an extra incentive, you know, to try and whip us and really beat us bad. So, but the same way with Coach Harbaugh, we want to win. We want to win that Super Bowl. So, the Seahawks just somebody in our path.
So this is like Gus and Nick then.
It's like who?
Like Gus Malzahn and Nick Saban.
I guess so. I guess so. But I don't think them two. I think it's more here because them two don't have a coaching history. You know, it's like. You know, you get two really coaches that don't really care for each other. I think the old Boston and, you know, I think Larry Bird and Magic probably be a more rivalry that two people that don't really like each other. You know, Coach Malzahn just got into Auburn, so him and Nick history is not really like that. These guys been battling each other since college and over 3 years in the league, so it's much stronger than that.
What is the difference in mindset or the way you go about your business, the way you approach the game, as opposed to when you played the Giants a couple years ago? This is your third trip to the NFC Championship now. I'm wondering, we talk about experience sometimes. How much does it matter? And if it does matter, how does it manifest itself in the way maybe your confidence or how comfortable you are playing the game? Or is it the same as the first time you played against the Giants?
You know, I think this game was a little different. You know, the Giants was our first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, just not looking back on that, we had a really good chance to win that game. And, you know, minus mistakes, you know, who never knows what happened. But that's how football, that's things that happen in football. But, you know, I think this game is, you know, we got that taste of what we got last year. Then you playing your division rivalry team. You know, it's going to be totally different than us playing Green Bay or the Saints. You know, these are guys in our division. These are guys that we're going to have to go through to, you know, to reach the Super Bowl. And the thing about it, it's a team that's alike. Two physical teams, two running quarterbacks, two guys that, you know, can pound the ball with Frank and Lynch. You know, they got good receivers. We got good receivers. So, you know, defenses are unbelievable. So I think this game is a little more, and it's going to test us to see, and also them, to see, do you really want to go to that Super Bowl? Because we know this game is not going to be easy.
What are we've talked about the difficulties in playing up there from an offensive standpoint, Carlos. We're talking to Carlos Rogers here on KNBR. The noise, obviously, can hinder some of the things you try to do, audibilizing. Does it have an effect defensively? I would imagine they're a lot quieter, so they let their offense run their offense. But is there any effect at all from a defensive perspective playing up there?
No, it's no difference. You know, when you're offense, you're a home team, you want everybody to be quiet and, you know, make sure y'all get y'all calls and signals. And but they always quiet the crowd down. But, you know, once that offense score, they on the sideline, you know, our offense is going to have to face that loud crowd.
Do you expect anything different? You faced them, twice a year. The last two times haven't gone well up there. Do you expect anything different from them, being that you guys face each other twice a year? Or do you just expect it to be a regular, you know, Seattle 49er game where it's, you know, don't turn the ball over, try to establish the run, make a few big plays, and that team's going to win the football game?
I don't expect nothing different. I think they're going to come in with their same approach. You know, fans are going to be real loud, especially when our offense on the field. They're going to be trash-talking, getting each other's face, doing their little extra stuff. You know, they can make a good hit, and Frank can gain 5 yards. They make a good hit. They standing up looking at their sideline, all rah-rah. I expect that same stuff. But what I expect that's going to be different, I expect our offense, you know, and they're not turning the ball over. I expect our defense to stop their run and make Russell throw the ball. I expect our offense to make plays. You know, I think that's going to be our biggest key. You know, not turn the ball over, stop the run. I think the total game is going to be different. Because as you notice, you know, I looked at that game last night or the night before that. They showed it on TV. It was 5-0 to late in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't hear all the talking, the trash talking, that. They're all around the sideline, you know, because it was 5-0. As soon as they went up, And then went up again. Oh, it's talking. It's dancing with the chili. They all on each other's face. I mean, I said, we got to go and not turn the ball over. Start fast. And, you know, once they rah-rah and all that time, they got to settle down to play football like they did when they came here. You'll see a difference.
When did that start, by the way? When did guys catch a two-yard hook and get up and signal first down like they had done something? And when did guys hit somebody 15 yards down the field and stand over them like they did something? I'm not sure when that started, but it seems like guys on defense sometimes lose sight of the fact that, you know, guy just got 20 yards on you. You stuck him, nice hit, but I probably wouldn't draw attention to myself for giving up the 20 yards. And then receivers, when they catch like a little two-yard out for a first down, it became a big deal, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. They get up and give the first down signal. And I'm thinking, well, isn't that what you're supposed to do, catch the ball for 2 yards?
I don't know. I think they get it mixed up when they do it. I can say if it's a crucial first down, something y'all drive and it's third and something and you catch the ball and somebody hit you, okay, do your first down signal. You took the hit, but you held onto the ball, you still got your first down. A defender's, when you 20 yards down the field and somebody just, you know, caught a pass on you or broke a long run and you hit him real good. I mean, why are you getting up celebrating? That's a 20-yard catch. A running back can run for 5 yards, and you get up and you get into a chase. I don't understand that. I mean, I guess it's the motion and the moment of the game. Guys just want to celebrate, trash talk on pretty much every play. But, I mean, regardless if I hit somebody, and especially if I give up a first down, it's no celebration on it. I got to go up and line up again because it's first and 10. If it was third down, I hit you hard and we getting out the field and it's fourth and one, then yeah, I can talk because you got to send your punt team on the field. But other than that, I think God just want to celebrate, caught up in the game and, you know, whatever they did at that point.
Talking to Carlos Rogers. Hey, Carlos, before I let you run, you talk about the emotion of this game, and it's going to be, I mean, super intense. Have you guys talked about making sure that, I mean, you're able to play with that intensity and bring that passion, yet you don't go over the line so someone doesn't get a 15-yard late hit or unsportsmanlike penalty that puts you guys in a bad spot?
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. Cole mentioned it the first game, and Green Bay mentioned it last week in Carolina. You can see so many of the penalties, and it turned on them this time. And also almost hurt us one time without coach. Go running on the field. But,
where were you? You were on the sidelines. You said that wasn't that part of your job description? Grab him.
I was up, but, man, he ran out there so fast after he seen what happened. Nobody wasn't catching him. But, you know, it's part of the game. I think, you know, it's going to be motion. It's going to be guys getting high. It's going to be rah-rah talk. I mean, from both teams. But I think when it comes to pushing and shove, you got to be, your mind got to be into the game where you don't hit back. Make sure you don't get caught. But it's going to be trash talking. It's going to be that. Just don't get us penalized for, you know, something that we've done. Especially if, you know, we don't do that then, or we gain some yards or do something, then you deduct 15 yards. That is bad football. Let them do all the, you know, the talking and the after the whistle stuff, and we just play football. Because, like I said, once we take their lead or once we take their punt that they're going to throw, you're going to see a difference in all the trash talk.
Did you tell him when he got back to the sideline, go, Coach, I know you're intense, but keep your $8 khaki-ass wearing coach on the side. Keep yourself on the sideline here.
Nice, and I think Anquan, I seen what Anquan was telling something like, Coach, you can't do that. He was like, man, I know, but this and that. But Vernon has scored. We got a touchdown, and the rest is history.
You don't like excuse making from a coach. That's just not – he should be running laps.
That's our coach, man. He's well intense. He's well into the game, man.
You know, there's like, no doubt.
That's just a prime example of how players are. Sometimes you just, at some point, you lose your cool. You try not to. You talk about it. But, you know, you just got to try and discipline yourself.
When you look at the last play, I mean, one of the last plays of the Carolina game, and I can't remember the cornerback, but he throws a punch. And I've always chuckled at guys that throw a punch and guys are wearing helmets. That's always interesting. But I understand sometimes you lose your head a little bit. That basically cost him the game. I don't know if they come back, but he took away any chance they had of coming back. And you just, I mean, that's got to be tough to go face your teammates after you do something like that.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. And I say, like, guys, you just, you know, somehow you got to be disciplined. I mean, it's always ways when somebody do something to you, you know, it's always way that you can get them back. You can get them back. Either if it's a run game or y'all blocking, you know, let them catch the ball. Make sure you beat them when that ball get caught and hit them real hard. So it's always ways you can get a guy back between the whistle. Just, you know, the stuff outside the whistle is the one that costs you, and then the one you got to be real disciplined on.
Carlos, as always, a pleasure to talk to you. It's going to be good to see you back out on the field this Sunday. Best of luck up in Seattle, and we'll look forward to talking to you hopefully next week about a trip to the Super Bowl.
All right, always. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Carlos. Appreciate it. Always enjoy talking to Carlos Rogers.